in verse 18. Ruth chapter 2, we're going to be reading 18 through 23. Let's begin. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz." Remember, she didn't mention any of the other guys' names, did she? She just mentioned one, Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed to the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, lest others fall upon you in another field." So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. We're still here in the second section of the book of Ruth. There's four sections in Ruth. The first section takes place when she is in Moab and on her way from Moab, traveling to Bethlehem. The second section is in the gleaning fields of Boaz and in the home of Naomi, where they came to settle in Bethlehem. And that's where we're at this morning. And it's actually broken up perfectly into four chapters. And you see the four different phases of this story in those four chapters. But we're here at the end of the second phase of this beautiful, beautiful love story. And this morning we see Ruth. She comes back in from the field and she has a lot of barley. She has a lot. More than what she should have had. And Naomi takes notice of this. But last week we looked at how these two strangers met for the very first time. Y'all remember that? Ruth and Boaz, they meet for the very first time, and Boaz is overly kind. He is overly generous. He says, "Come eat with us." He gives her enough that she has leftovers that she, you see here in verse 14, that we've already covered, that she brings to her mother-in-law. He was kind. He was generous. He was compassionate. One of the verses we looked at last week was Ephesians 4 and 32. And it says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." We looked at the character of both, of Boaz and of Ruth, and without a shadow of a doubt, we were able to see how both of them show us perfectly the character of Christ Jesus. We understand from God's word that Christ comes out of this marriage later on down the line. So this morning we're going to look at this conversation that she is having with her mother-in-law as she returns back to her house. Listen to what it says in verse 18. It says, "And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned." Now, not only did she glean all of this, but then she had to beat it out. She had to go and she had to work all the chaff that was on this barley. And so she took it to a place where she could work it, and she went and she worked it. And when she gathered it all up, it measured an ephah barley, which is close to 4 to 6 gallons, somewhere around in there. But it was a lot. It was enough that when she came home, Naomi was just like, "My goodness, there's no way that you gleaned that in one day." You know, this was unheard of, to glean this much in one day. And the reason we know this is because Naomi took notice of how much she had been blessed in one day. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. So, you know, Ruth comes back and she says, I got some leftovers that I want to give to you. Look at verse 14. Go back to verse 14. This was during the day. Y'all ever eat leftovers? Sure. Some leftovers are better a day or two after, ain't they? Then when they're cooked, they have time to sit there and get working. Well, listen to what happens here in verse 14. This was back during the day when, during the heat of the day when they were working. Listen to what it says. And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of vinegar in the bread. So she sat beside the reapers and he served her roasted grain. And she ate and was satisfied and had some left. Don't think that this industrious woman was going to sit there and throw what was left away. My wife does not throw away leftovers until they're 4 or 5 days old and we have to get them out of the refrigerator. Most generally, there's not leftovers in our home because we eat them. But Ruth was not about to throw this away, so she takes it back, and she is able then to relieve her mother-in-law with some leftovers, with some food that she had gathered from the day. And in verse 18, it says that the end of it, it says, and gave Naomi what, look at verse 18, and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. That's in comparison to verse 14. Verse 19, listen to what it says. Her mother-in-law then said to her, where did you glean today? And where did you work? So she asked the same question twice, and she's trying to figure this out because she took notice of how the Lord had blessed Ruth. She also took it out and gave Naomi, I'm sorry, verse 19, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed. So here, Naomi blesses the one that took notice of her and her daughter-in-law, Ruth. She is blessing Boaz and doesn't even know it yet. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz. I can only imagine what was going through Naomi's mind as Ruth began to tell her that the name of this man was Boaz. Remember, it was a small community. Everybody knew everybody. Everybody knows everybody in Jonesville, right? Pretty well. And you old hands that's been in here for a long time, boo-boo, y'all know the people that were here in the beginning. Miss Martha, she talks about those that were here a long time ago. And you've been here for how many years?
Since 73.
Jerry talks about the people that he's known since he was a kid. I've talked to Jerry about him knowing the people in Harrisonburg, and he's known them since he was a young man. What I'm saying is people know people. And you're not too far removed as what you're closer than what you think to people than what you actually are. You're a lot closer. And right here we see this. Naomi knows exactly who Boaz is. And she gets excited. Listen to what it says in verse 20. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness. So she blesses him again. Why? Because being kind to Ruth was being kind to not only Naomi, but also being generous to the fact that Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion had passed away. And here, he is being kind to them as well. And Naomi recognizes this. So Boaz was one of Naomi's and Ruth's closest kin. He was a near kinsman. Boaz was Elimelech's near kinsman. And so he had the opportunity here to buy back this property, to buy back all that belonged to Elimelech. Let's look at the kinsman redeemer this morning. If you have a pen, I'm going to give you some notes about the kinsman redeemer and how they relate to Boaz, how they relate to the law, and also how they relate to Christ and to us. Verse 20, she says, "And again Naomi said to her, 'The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives.'" The word is goel, G-O-E-L, G-O-E-L, or near kinsman or kinsman. I'm going to give you three things that we're going to look at, and we're going to see if Boaz, and we know that he does, but we're going to see if Boaz fits these three things. Let's go back to Deuteronomy in chapter 25. Deuteronomy in chapter 25, and we're going to read 5 through 10, and I want you to see what happens here. Because this will be the basis for Boaz fulfilling these requirements. We're going to see this in 5 through 10. About the kinsman redeemer. "When brothers live together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the deceased shall not be married outside the family to a strange man. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her to himself as wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her." Now we know that there was one closer than Boaz that was closer kin to Elimelech. Some say that it was Elimelech's brother. We don't know that. Okay, we're not for sure on that, but I believe it probably was. But there was one closer than Boaz to Elimelech, and here we have this coming about. "Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her to himself as wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn whom she bears shall assume the name of the dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out from Israel." So it was in order that the bloodline and the lineage would continue to go throughout the days. And this is what the law was about. And so here we have someone that's going to marry this widow woman and fulfill that and raise up seed to take care of and to fulfill the brother's name that it would carry on through life. "And but if the man does not desire to take his brother's wife, then his brother's wife shall go up to the gate to the elders and say, 'My husband's brother refuses to establish a name for his brother in Israel. He is not willing to perform the duty of a husband's brother to me.' Then the elders of his city shall summon him and speak to him." And this is what happens in chapter 4. At the end of chapter 3 and chapter 4, this is what's going to take place. And Boaz is a stickler for the law, man, and we're going to see that played out later on on another Sunday. Listen to what it says there in verse 8. "Then the elders of the city shall summon him and speak to him, and if he persists and say, 'I do not desire to take her,' then his brother's wife shall come to him in the sight of the elders, pull off his sandal off his foot, spit in his face, and she shall declare, 'Thus it is done to the man who does not build up his brother's house.'" It was a shame. It was a disgrace for someone not to do this. "In Israel, his name shall be called the house of him whose sandal is removed." So first, the first thing that we have to see for someone to be a kinsman, to redeem someone else, they must be related by blood to those he redeems. They must be related by blood. Here in our text, we will see that he had roughly 50 days. We know that he already meets the requirements. We know that he already is going to be a kinsman redeemer. We know this because we know the story. But in chapter 2 in verse 11, it shows us this. It shows us, listen to what it says in verse 11 of Ruth. "And Boaz answered and said to her, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and your land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know.'" So we know that he already meets this requirement as a kinsman redeemer. He knows everything about her. He knows who exactly she is. The question is, will he do it or not? The question is, will he redeem her? We know according to God's word that he does. But they have to do this. They have to be related by blood. He had 50 days to think about this woman, roughly 50 days. And I'm going to tell you why I know that here in just a moment. But I'm here to tell you right now that this man Boaz was a businessman. Not only was he a businessman, he was a man of great wealth. He was a man of great compassion and a man of mercy. He knew good and well what it would take to be with this woman, Ruth. And he had plenty of time to think about it. Plenty of time. The question stands, will he fulfill the law in Deuteronomy or bring shame before the elders and on Elimelech's bloodline? We know that he doesn't do that. So first, before we go any further, we have to see that to be a kinsman redeemer, they must be related by blood to those that he redeems. Everybody following me? Because if we don't understand this, we're not going to see how Christ ties into this later on. So he must be by blood. He must be by blood kin. The second thing to be a kinsman redeemer is he must be able to pay the price of redemption. Sound familiar? To pay the price of redemption? Of course it does. We know that's talking about Christ. But here, to pay the price of the redemption, what is it talking about? What was the price in this scenario? Well, the price was a pretty lofty one. He had to buy Elimelech's property. And not only did he have to buy Elimelech's property, but he had to take whoever came with it. Now, Naomi was too old to bear children. So he couldn't raise up seed through Naomi. Orpah had already went back. So he couldn't raise up seed to Chilion. So that only left Mahlon's wife, which would have been Ruth. And so there was a big price to pay here. Not only did he have to pay for the land, not only did he have to take on Naomi's things that she had, but he also had to pay a price. And that one price that he had to pay was he had to marry Ruth, the Moabitess. This was a big price to pay, and I'll tell you the reason why. Because then, just like now, your name is worth everything. It is precious. And here Boaz is going to have to make a decision. Am I going to marry this woman that is a Moabitess or not? One thing I love about this story, this love story, and y'all just follow me for just a moment. One thing I love about this love story is that he doesn't view her as a Moabitess. He doesn't view her just as that. He views her as much, much more. Listen to what verse 12 says about her. May the Lord reward your work. This is Boaz blessing her. Notice how he views Ruth. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, whose wings you have come to seek refuge. So Boaz doesn't just view her as a Moabitess, but he views her as one that has put her faith and her trust in the God of Israel. And this is one thing that I think is so beautiful about marriage and so beautiful about young couples coming together is that it is imperative that you start out on the right track. Young ones, it's imperative to not be unequally yoked. You say, well, she was a Moabitess. Yeah, but she loved the Lord God Almighty. And so here we have this, it has nothing to do with being unequally yoked here. They are yoked because they both love the Lord. And I see young couples and I see people that are together that are not yoked properly, and it breaks my heart because there's always contention and there's always confusion and it's hard. And if you can avoid starting that way, don't do it. Don't. Boaz and Ruth here are not starting that way. He knows her heart, and he knows that she has come to take shelter in the wings of the Almighty. So he doesn't view her as a Moabitess. He views her as a child of God, as a Hebrew, of one of his own. He looks past maybe her clothing that she was wearing that probably looked like she was from Moab. And he views her as one that loves the Lord. So the second thing to be a kinsman redeemer is he must be able to pay the price of redemption. And we know that he was able to do this. He had the money, but let me tell you what else he had more than that. He had the heart. He had the heart to pay the price of redemption. He had the heart to do it. The third thing to be a kinsman redeemer is the redeemer had to be willing to. The redeemer had to be willing to. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 7. I'm going to read that one more time. You don't have to turn there. I've got it already right here. Listen to what it says. Deuteronomy 25, 7. He had to be willing to. But if a man does not desire to take his brother's wife, then his brother's wife shall go up to the gate to the elders and say, "My husband's brother refuses to establish a name for his brother in Israel. He is not willing to perform the duty of a husband's brother to me." I want you to remember something. This wasn't just about money, and this wasn't just about land, which Boaz could buy and which he had plenty of. Don't get me wrong. He wasn't trying to just gain and add more wealth to himself. But more than anything, he had to be willing to marry and raise up seed to Elimelech's bloodline. And he had to do that. To do that, he had to marry Ruth. And so he had to be willing to do this. Remember, Orpah stayed back and Naomi was too old. So who does that leave? That leaves the Moabitess, Ruth. He had to be willing to fulfill the law. He had to be willing to fulfill the law. And I want us to notice something about this here. It was about fulfilling the law, but it was much, much more than just fulfilling the law. If it was just about fulfilling the law, that would have been one dead, cold marriage. You understand what I'm telling you? That would have been sad, wouldn't it? If it was just about fulfilling the law. Well, I'm going to marry you because I'm going to fulfill the law, so I'm in good standings with God. That would have been sad. That would have been a miserable, miserable marriage. But it wasn't about that. It was more than just fulfilling the law. And if you hear the words that I'm using, we're going to see where Christ comes to not only fulfill the law, but add flavor to it as well. Add flavor to life as well. I'm going to mention that later. But what we see going on here is Boaz comes and he had to be willing to fulfill the law. And he does, and he loves her. And let me tell you what I think is going on in our text. Let me tell you what I think. Boaz, once he met Ruth, I believe instantly knew who she was. Because he knew his kinfolk. Just like I know mine and just like you know yours. He knew what happened to her husband and to her father-in-law. He knew that she had come back with her mother-in-law. And he knew that they were poor. They came back with nothing. Remember, it was noised about the whole town. One of the reasons why he blesses her so much with so much food to take home to Naomi. I believe that from the moment he met her, he began to take care of her. From the moment he met her and from the moment he laid eyes on her, he began to fill that role as the kinsman redeemer before it ever came to pass. He began to show her love and he began to show her graciousness and mercy before he ever married her. Let me tell you all this. If y'all don't make each other better before y'all are married, to love the Lord better, y'all don't need to be together. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Let me tell you, Boaz was loving this woman. Boaz was showing grace and Boaz was showing mercy to this woman. It thrilled my heart when I heard that Bryant wanted to come to church and bring Mackenzie. Because this is what's taking place in our text. Boaz was making sure that everything was going right according to God's word. This was before they got married. Don't wait until after you're married to start going to church. Don't wait until after you're married to start serving the Lord. Do it now. Boaz was doing this. Boaz was being kind to her. He was falling for her, and he was being showing her how much that he loved her. There was nothing weird about it. He was constantly showing favor to this woman. This was not some quick decision that he made. He had 50 days to look at his status as single. On Facebook today, everybody has statuses. Single, in a relationship, married. Or other. I don't know what that means, but I mean, there's no telling what that means. But he had 50 days, and let me explain to you what I mean by he had 50 days. Remember, from the time of barley harvest, which was in the early spring, which kicked off the feast of festivals, the Holy Week, from the time of barley harvest to the end of wheat harvest, which started another festival, Pentecost, was 50 days. It was called the Feast of Weeks. It was 7 weeks, which is 49 plus one day, which is 50. That's where the word Pentecost comes from. It was 50 days after the first festival began. And so we know that Ruth, they came in to town and they began to glean when she got there at the beginning of barley harvest. And she stayed with Boaz and his workers until the end of wheat harvest. They had plenty of time to get to know one another. You say, well, 50 days is not that long. True. However, when you're spending that much time with somebody, you get to be able to understand who they are, how they treat other people in the world, how they treat you, how they respond in different situations when things get hot. And so Boaz spent plenty of time with this woman. He watched her work in her diligence. He got to know her. He got to know her character in the field, her demeanor, who she was, how she treated others, how she worked, asking himself the question, and the Lord also, is this woman for me or not? There were so many times I asked that as a young man before I got married. Lord, is this woman for me or not? Do you ever remember asking that? Somebody answer, please. I did. Do y'all ever remember asking that? I did. So I can only imagine what was going through Boaz's mind. Is this woman for me or is she not for me? And so he had to be willing to marry her and to redeem and buy all of that back. 21, let's listen to what it says. Then Ruth the Moabitess, and this narrative is a really big story, okay, that spans the course of several months. So just bear with me as I go through this and try to pick off a little bit as we go. Verse 21, then Ruth the Moabitess said, furthermore, he said to me, you should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest. What is Boaz telling Ruth? Stay with me. Don't leave. Stay in my field and work until barley and wheat harvest is over. What's Boaz doing? He's saying, I want you to stay here. I don't want you to go and work in some other man's field. I want you to work in my field. Why was he doing that? Because he loved her. He wanted to see her. He wanted to spend time with her. Right? Stick around for a little while. She had found favor in Boaz's heart. And Boaz shows her that. Verse 22, listen to what it says. And Naomi, really good information right here, guys. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with this maid." She says, "It's good for you to do this. It's good." And then she says, "Stay in his field." Listen to what it says. "That you go out with his maids, lest others fall upon you in another field." What's she saying? Stay in his field. Stay within your boundaries for your own safety, for your own security, for your own integrity, for your own character. Ruth, stay within the confines of Boaz's fields. Don't go anywhere else. He has shown you mercy. He has shown you kindness. And this is very wise counsel from Naomi. She is coming and she is speaking to Ruth. She's saying, "Listen to me. Listen to me. You may not know what's going on because you're a Moabitess. But this man has taken great favor on you. He is showing you favor. He is showing you love. He is showing you mercy, kindness. He's been compassionate to you. Don't leave his field." If you leave his field, quite possibly he could take offense to that. Why? Because he's been so generous to us already. Don't leave him. Now, this is some really, really good counsel. She is telling Ruth, do not leave this place where you have started. But also, I want us to understand something in a relationship, in a marriage, or whatever it may be. We're to keep to our own business. I want you to think about what I'm saying. Keep to our own business. We need to stay in our own field. She didn't need to go off into somebody else's field, did she? She needed to stay in her own field. Staying in her own field provided her a lot of protection and provided her security. All she had to do was stay within the boundaries. And she did. A lot of conflicts and a lot of idle talk and a lot of foolishness would cease if people would stay in their own fields. You understand what I'm telling you? When we start nosing around in other people's business, we cross that fence and that ancient marker that we're not supposed to cross. We get in somebody else's property. They don't like it. Well, nobody likes to be trespassed on, do they? Walk on somebody else's land, you're going to get words for it. You meddle in somebody else's business, you're going to get words for it. We need to stay in our own field. And this is what Naomi is telling Ruth. Listen to me. This man is showing you favor. Listen, Ruth, don't leave that. Casey and I have a saying, and it's this. Stay in your own lane. Ain't that right, Casey Merle? Stay in your own lane. My grandmother, Grandmother Arnold, Anna Wilma Arnold, this is what she used to tell us as kids. Keep your nose clean. And I was always like, as a kid, I couldn't figure it out. I was constantly rubbing my nose. She'd say, keep your nose clean. It wasn't until I got just a little bit older in my teenage years that I meant what she was saying is stay in your own lane. Keep your nose clean. Stay out of trouble. There's boundaries set for a reason. Stay within the confines of them. And when it comes to relationships and when it comes to marriage, this is wise, wise counsel. Stay in your own lane. Don't go off in another field. Verse 23. Listen to what it says. So she stayed close. Not only did she get wise counsel from Naomi, but what happened? She received it, didn't she? She received it. And this is the, you know, you can see that this person is wise. She received wise counsel. It was given to her and she received it and took it in. And this is one thing I love about Ruth. Ruth was just like, you know what? I am from Moab. I don't know everything that's going on around here. Naomi, I trust you. You know all of the traditions. You know all of the rules and all of the different things. I trust you. I'm going to take your counsel. And I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do. So she stayed close by the maids in 23 of Boaz in order to glean until the end of barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And that reference for those 49 days plus one, if you want to reference this, you can look at it and read it in Deuteronomy chapter 16, 8 through 12. And so what you see here is not only Ruth fulfilling the law and Naomi, but you see Boaz as well. And so the law was front and center in this relationship. They wanted to please God and they wanted to please the Lord. And this is what they are doing. And so she stayed with Naomi those 50 days or however long it was probably maybe a little bit more than that, give or take a few. But we know from festival to festival, it was 49 plus one, which was 50. And so she stays with Naomi that long, and they have this amount of time to get to know each other. She works with Boaz until the end of wheat harvest, according to verse 23, and she lived with her mother-in-law. That length of time. This morning, as we close and as I finish out this chapter 2, this second section that is coming to an end, because we're fixing to see things heat up in this love story. We're fixing to see where they have an intimate time together, where they speak together by themselves. And we're going to see that in chapter 3. But right here, she is still living with her mother-in-law. She worked until the end of barley and wheat harvest. And this morning, as we close this love story, I want us to think about our Lord Jesus for just a moment. Our kinsman redeemer. This is who Boaz points to. I want you to think about this, and we're going to talk about this later on as we go through the scriptures, but I want you to think about our kinsman redeemer this morning, Christ Jesus. How is he our kinsman redeemer? First, let me explain to you how he was our kinsman redeemer. He was born under the law, and he took on flesh, and he dwelt among us, which shows us what? That he's our blood kin. You understand what I'm telling you? Just like Boaz was to Elimelech, Christ Jesus came, he humbled himself, was born of a virgin in a lowly stable, took on flesh, and dwelt among us so that he could be our kinsman redeemer. Do we understand that this morning? And this is exactly what Boaz is doing for Ruth, for Naomi, and for Elimelech's family. He is going to redeem their family. And this is what Jesus has done for us. But before that to happen, he had to first be blood related. The second thing I want you to see is that Jesus had the funds to redeem. He had the funds to redeem. Not only did he have the funds, but he had the heart as well. He redeemed us with his precious blood. That was without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. Perfect blood. It cost him his life. Jesus paid it all. The reason why he can be our kinsman redeemer is because he had the funds. He paid the ultimate price with his life for us to get us and to buy us back out of hock. This is what he has done for us. He paid with his precious blood to redeem us. And third, it wasn't just because he was made to. It wasn't because his father said, "You're going to do this," but it was also because he was willing to. He was willing to leave his home in glory. He was willing to come and to live a perfect life. By the way, for 33 years he lived perfectly, which none of us can do. He lived perfectly so that he could then redeem us. He was willing to do this for a bunch of no good Moabites. You say, "I ain't no Moabite." I'll claim it right now that I am. I'm a Gentile of Gentiles, been grafted in by the blood of Christ, redeemed by his precious blood, redeemed how I love to proclaim him. He was willing to redeem Ruth Boaz was willing to redeem her, even though she was a Moabitess. Christ Jesus was willing to redeem us, a bunch of no good, sorry individuals. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So this morning we see very clearly through those three requirements of being a kinsman redeemer, we see Christ fulfilling those very, very simply. He did that for us. And this morning he's still able to do that for you. He's still able to buy you back. He's still able to pull you out of that worldly state that you might find yourself in. And he can do it this morning. Christ Jesus is our kinsman redeemer, just as Boaz was for Elimelech's family. And I praise God this morning. I praise God that Christ came to fulfill the law. I praise God that he was born under the law. I praise God that he was our next of kin, born of blood and flesh. I praise him that he gave the ultimate price of his life. And I praise him that he was willing to do that for such a sinner as myself. And so this morning, as we close and as we go to the Lord in prayer, I ask that you would examine your heart. Is he your kinsman redeemer? We know that he meets the qualifications. Christ meets the qualifications of being a goel, a near kinsman. He meets those qualifications. Will you receive that mercy and that grace this morning from him? Let's pray. Father, we come to you.